Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I am right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I am your co-host, Mandy.
And I am your co-host, Ben.
And we have got some interesting characters coming on tonight. Some friends of mine I met at Bobby Mackey's. All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to you. Can you introduce yourselves and explain exactly what I'm looking at here?
Well, what you're looking at behind us is the set for Draw Western Theater. It's a TV show that airs on WBON-TV. It also airs on Draw Western TV on Roku, getting ready to go on to Fire Stick.
And I'm on here.
And Georgie's on here. I'll let them introduce themselves, but I'm George Bunnell. I'm the director and producer of it. This is one of the sets. This is the Yukon set, and it's loaded up with authentic-looking props from that era, from the 1880s era.
Very cool.
The backside, which you can't see, we also have a gambling set, which is a casino. We actually thought about maybe shooting on that set because of Bobby Mackey's history. But then we thought, yeah, the Yukon set's a little more close. We can get together a little better because that set's a lot larger, a lot more spread out. But I'll let my other two guests here introduce themselves.
I'm Georgie Vanilla, and I play the kid on Draw Western Theater. And I'm the actor, not the producer. He is the producer.
All right. Nice.
I'm Evan Thomas. I'm not on the show. I am supposed to be on the show.
You're on an upcoming episode. He's getting ready to play one of the characters on the upcoming episode that's called The Lone Ranger,
which I'm the producer on. Yep. It's
Georgie's
me. I produce it.
Look at you.
Awesome. He's going to have Evan and a couple other of his friends on there. And we're going to do a complete history of The Lone Ranger.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I definitely watched a lot of The Lone Rangers.
Yeah. Georgie, oh, you're 11, right?
You got to see it on 8th or 9th rerun. I got to see it original run.
Oh, wow. Georgie, you're 11, right?
Yes, I'm 11.
Evan, how old are you?
I'm 10.
Okay, so very close in age.
He's 4.
Now, she was nice enough not to even ask me. I said I saw The Lone Ranger. So don't...
Well, I think you kind of dated yourself already. So. 11.
I'm 11.
Georgie's 11. He wants to be 11. Sure we got that straight. And that's the reason we're also in our cowboy garb here. We don't walk around dressed like this normally. But we're going to be on the set. We might as well wear a garb. We've got our six shooters. We've got our whiskey. We've got our sarsaparilla. We've got our money. We actually have very authentic looking money in our business, in the motion picture business. It's very hard to get authentic looking props from that era. You can get them, the ones they use in Hollywood that have got these strange looking pictures and stuff on them. But we actually produce our own bills that look really authentic.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's the big blanket thing.
Apparently I'm rich.
And the liquor's not real, right?
I hope not.
Well, as far as you know.
Because when I first started, kids, I saw them drinking. I'm like, that looks odd.
Like these kids are down on the vodka or whatever it is. Or whiskey.
Yeah, the kids have got the sarsaparilla.
Okay.
Secret? What this is?
No. Got to leave the mystery.
You can tell me off air. How about that?
Label. It's Hooten Old Town Whiskey. You can see that. So we actually have our own label for that, too. And
is it real whiskey?
We just finished an episode on Bonanza, so we've got a couple of the props still left over from Bonanza.
Awesome. Do you make your own whiskey? Or?
Yes, we make our own. We make our own labels and our own bottles and everything. Of course, you can't really drink whiskey on TV.
Sure.
We actually shot a TV commercial years and years ago in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the big selling point of it was, we said, hey, you guys show up as one of the first laundry places that served beer also. It was Something in Suds. And so they served beer while you washed your clothes. So we told the extras, we said, if you guys show up, it's all the beer you can drink. By about the second hour of the shoot, they were dancing on top of the washing machines. They were, there was people that were taking their clothes off. And I'm like, never, ever do we do that again on set.
Yeah. Probably not a good idea.
Drinking on set ever again.
Oh, my gosh. All right, guys. I am dying to hear all these ghost stories I've been hearing about.
Okay, I'll start us off.
Okay.
I'll start us off with a Bobby Mackey story.
All right.
When we were there, we were down in the basement area, like in the back room where like everybody hangs out and stuff.
And the wall of faces room?
We were sitting around at a table.
Uh-huh.
And it was me, Bobby, me, Bob, and
Marsha.
And we were, and Liam, we were using a spirit box.
Okay.
To talk to them. And then we were asking questions. And then we finally asked a question because I was using an app on my phone. And then I was like using it because it detected where ghosts are.
Uh huh.
And it was right behind Marsha. So I told her there's something behind you. And then she asked, do you want to hurt me? And it didn't respond. But then she asked, do you want us to leave? And then it said, run.
Wow.
And you could clearly hear the word run. They called me in. They said, listen to this. Mm-hmm. It's not like one of those EVPs that you kind of get a little bit of.
Mm-hmm.
She says, do you want us to leave? And it says, run.
We left.
And
so I remember that.
Something really, really interesting that night, too. And when you go online with it and you have the video, I'd love to get Bob to send you the video, because
mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of videos of people capturing orbs and things, and they're all very interesting. But this one was incredibly unique.
Okay.
Because there's a girl standing there, and they're talking. They're trying to capture something on the spirit box. And she's standing there, and she's looking off, minding her own business. And you see this little ball just come that slowly into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then right as it gets to her, it literally goes right into her back. At that very moment, she goes, oh, my back. And then she leans over and she says, guys, I'm going to have to go sit down for a minute. My back is just killing me.
Oh, wow.
There's no way they could have planned it. There's no way she could have seen it, because she's looking in that direction and it comes from this direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, it's one of the most incredible little video snippets I've ever seen. Because the timing is perfect. As soon as it disappears into her back, she goes, oh, my back. It's pretty
wow.
Easy. I'll send you that copy.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Yeah, I
would cool. love to
hear. It, like,
and then she
all...
came upstairs, and she was, like, doing this, like, reaching and, like, stretching.
And this was all before they realized what they had seen on the video. They were like,
yeah.
She's like, I don't know. My back is just killing me. I'm going to set it out for a minute. And then Bob ran it back, and then he called me down, and he said, look at this. And it was just, it was so no chance they could have, you know, fudged the footage. No chance they could have edited it later. I saw it within minutes after it happened.
Yeah,
it
they wouldn't amazing. Have had time to edit it.
Oh, no,
it.
Nothing.
But yeah, it was a very unique night
we had there. They captured quite a bit of stuff and a lot of interesting footage. And we're not paranormal investigators, but I think being in the business we're in, we also tend to be in a lot of areas that most people don't go into because
– right.
We're looking for unique sets. We're looking for places here and there. So I'm all the time scouting locations. Now, if we're going to start off with probably the scariest place I've ever been in my life, that would have to probably be
Michigan.
No, that was where I grew up. That was scary, but for a whole different reason. But remember, we were talking about on the way over here.
Oh, we're talking about Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
Oh, gosh.
Have you all ever had the opportunity to go there?
The thing is,
it's on my bucket list.
The thing is, the reason everybody like didn't do anything was because they thought it would be like a little duel and not like a big war, which it was.
Right.
And now my dad, he went over there. How long ago?
Oh, it's been several years ago. But
and he like saw like you heard gunshots.
Hold on, hang on, just let me tell him the story. Let me set it up. We actually happened to go there. And we just happened to be there on one of the most warm Februarys they had had in decades. We were just passing through because we figured, you know, we're not going to go up there and look around in February in Pennsylvania because you're going to, you know, you're going to freeze to death. And we get there and it was 60 degrees in February.
Wow.
So we go out. Now, this is at night. We get there, and I said, you know what? Let's go over into the park at night, over into Gettysburg. So we get there, and we got a hotel room. There's one hotel. It's the oldest hotel there, I believe. It's right literally on the grounds. It's like a one-story, very, very old, ancient little place. I mean, wonderful little place. Very, very quaint. So we said, okay. We walked in. We said, can we go on the grounds right now? Because it was like 7, 8 o'clock at night. And they said, yes, they're still open. Of course, it was pitch black out. Mm-hmm. So me and my brother and my wife, we run over there and we go into the park and we get inside the park. It's 60 degrees at night. There's a big, bright moon. And if you ever go to Gettysburg, especially in the wintertime, there are all these marble statues that mm-hmm. they place all over the grounds that are of different monuments to different areas, what happened in that area. Well, at nighttime, they just almost glow under the moonlight. So you're looking back through the woods and you're seeing white things all the way around you glowing in the dark. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And we got into an area called Devil's Den where these guys got trapped and mm-hmm. just got cut to ribbons. And the moonbeams bouncing off the rocks made them light up too. So as you're walking through there, you just feel that there are other people there with you. There's just no mistaking it. It's the eeriest feeling I've ever felt. And me and my brother walked by some bushes and we heard people talking. You could just hear them whispering, plain as day. You could hear words. And it's like, what is that about?
And shooting.
And then we got up on a hillside and we heard this whole barrage of gunfire.
Wow.
Just way off in the distance. Just. And I said, did you hear that? And he said, yeah. Then we heard it again. I got so unnerved after a while, they decided to walk up ahead. And I said, you know, I don't want to leave the car back here. So I ran back to get the car. I said, I'll meet you guys at that big monument up there. I hopped in the car. As soon as I hopped in the car, I was like, don't look in that mirror. Don't look in the mirror. Because I knew there was something in that backseat. I just knew it. So I drove just as quick as I could up to where they were, hopped out and went back and joined them. But we got to back to the hotel later that night.
Did you speed?
No. I mean, in there, I was doing like 5 miles an hour. I was going like this. Don't look, don't look, don't look. So I get back to the hotel and I ask the guy, I said, by any chance, are there any reenactors out there right now? And the guy says, what'd you hear? Did you hear voices? I said, yeah. He said, did you hear gunshots? I said, yeah. He said, did you see things out of the corner of your eyes? I said, yeah. He said, people see it here all the time.
Yep.
Just like it was nothing to him. Like he'd heard that. Something, but it truly was. It was just, I mean, I'm not a person that spooks easy. And when I got in that car, I was about that point. I was like, I've got to get to where they're at and get out of this car as quickly as I can.
Boy, it's a shame you didn't have a recorder going.
We did.
Oh, you did?
We actually had a video camera with us.
Did it pick anything up?
To this day, I've not had. There's a high 8 video camera.
Oh, gosh.
And that was right as high 8 went out.
Yeah.
And I've got a high 8 player and I mean to go back and look at it. I just never have gotten to it.
Oh, you need to.
I will go back and look. I am positive I had it recording when the gunshots went off.
Oh man, that would be great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, Gettysburg, we actually just talked to his name's Kehlani, and he's a big TikTok superstar. He was just at Gettysburg not too long ago. I talked to him a couple days ago and they had some interesting stuff happen to them too. That's definitely on high up on my bucket list.
Well, and what I loved about it, you know, like I said, wintertime, it's so very cold in Pennsylvania. But what I loved about it is when we went, it was so warm, but there was nobody there. We did not run into, we were probably there 4 or 5 hours at night, and we didn't run into another person at all because they figured it was going to be sub-zero.
Right.
And so we had the entire place to ourselves. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, that would have been great too.
Yeah, it was. But you know, growing up, I grew up in Michigan, like Georgie mentioned, and we actually, my parents moved us into an old abandoned hotel at one point.
Oh my gosh!
Called Silver Bell Road. And when we first moved in, my mom was told very clearly the place is very haunted. And of course, my mom was like, "Well, you know, she grew up in Kentucky; it was no big deal to her." And there were things there that we would see quite often. You know, you'd see somebody walk through a doorway. You'd see. You know, you'd turn off something in a room and it would be back on a little bit later. My mom would be jumping on us about turning off lights. Like we did, we turned it off. And
are you talking about the old hotel that you used to live in?
That's in Silver Bell Road. We have my cousin and me went upstairs. My brother went upstairs one night and we had heard that the owner of the hotel got killed. He was one of those people. He fell asleep on a railroad track, believe it or not.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And he died on the railroad tracks. So we were up in the attic, and it was, you know, big old Victorian building like you'd imagine. And we were looking out, and you could just see there was somebody coming across the field holding a railroad lantern. And we watched him walk all the way up to where he's right down below. We were on the third floor looking down. And we're looking at him, and he looks up at us just like that. You could see everything about him. And then it was just gone. He was just
That's pretty gone. Cool.
My mom said, well, he blew the lantern out. He's like, well, then where did he go after that? Because we saw nothing. He was just him in the field. He walked up, and he was just gone. So,
okay, I have a question. Why were you guys living in a hotel?
It was just probably available at the time. My mom liked old places like that.
Oh, okay.
And it had been
okay.
abandoned for a lot of years. Somebody just turned it into a Victorian home. It just happened to be an old hotel. And it was beautiful. Hardwood floors and the whole nine yards. It was really nice. But but I liked the place right up till one night I'm in bed and I'm with my cousin. We're, you know, joking around like kids do. And he fell asleep. And I saw something coming up the hallway, you know, the old right out of a movie. I saw the little glow come up the hallway. I covered my head up and didn't come out till I woke up in the morning, and I was just burning up, of course. And after that, I never felt the same about the place.
Oh.
It was no longer fun and games at that point.
That's awesome.
Were you excited? Were you excited when you got to leave?
I actually liked that place because it had a lot of wonderful fields around stuff. There's only a couple scary things.
Didn't it get tore down?
It did. It got demolished later
on. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. See what?
Was there any other things that happened like that in your old house, in the Victorian area house? Was there like lights or anything like that? Was there any other?
No, but we did own a bar in Knoxville, Tennessee one time.
I can tell that.
You want to tell the story? Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
I was writing a narrative about it, so I know about it. My dad owned a bar, and my mom was at work because it was the weekend, right?
Right.
So when he was there, you were originally upstairs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He was upstairs, and then he heard the radio turn on, but he didn't turn it on.
Yeah, this was after we closed, so every door was locked.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually counting the receipts for the day. I called my wife, Tammy, and I said, this was actually before cell phones were everywhere.
And the radio.
And I heard the radio come on.
And he went over to it. He turned it off. He probably just thought it was like something glitchy or something because it was still plugged in at that point.
Well, yeah, this was solid state radio.
So then you walked over and then you heard it again. So then went over. That time you unplugged
it. Right. Let me tell you. I went downstairs. It was a three-level hotel, three-level bars. Again, the old Victorian house. It's still there now. It's called Sassy Ann's in Knoxville.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's closed, but it's a really neat place. And the radio was on the third level. So when I walked down, I got to the middle level. That's where the main bar was. I heard the radio come on. And I thought, well, that's odd. So I went back up, turned it off. Came back down, and I went down to the first level. As soon as my feet hit the floor on the first level, I heard the radio come on. So I went up and unplugged it.
And then
got back downstairs, and the radio came on.
Oh, wow.
And so I walked upstairs, and by then I'm thinking somebody's messing with me. Somebody's hiding in the bar. So I went through, and I checked everything, made sure every door was locked. Thought somebody was just messing around with me. So I go back downstairs. I called Tammy. I said, told her what had happened. And I hear somebody walking upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I go back upstairs. This time I've got a weapon with me. But I'm looking for somebody. I'm like, somebody's messing around. Nobody. I checked every place. I went back down to the first level, and I literally could hear them walking down the steps right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I come around the steps, and I look, and there's nobody there. I go back around, and I'm calling my wife. I said, look, something weird's going on here. As I'm talking to her, I hear thump, thump, thump. It's coming down the staircase again. The staircase is right here. So I literally said, I will be in the parking lot. I walked straight from here to the right out the front door, turned around, chained the door, never looked at those steps. But
he locked the door.
Whatever it was coming down those steps.
He called my mom.
I was never alone in that building ever again after that.
Yeah, he called my mom. And he was like, pick me up.
Yep, come and get me. I'm ready. And I'll be in the parking lot.
And he was outside.
So it's we've been in some very interesting places over the years. We've you know, like I said, if it's something like that, either we if we're not, you know, we don't own it or anything like that, we'll go seek it out. If I hear some place that's really unique and very interesting, have you guys ever been to the Frenchburg School?
Mm-mm. I've never even heard of it.
If you get a chance, go over there. We actually went there because we had to do something else, and somebody had mentioned it to me. It's a big old school that's been abandoned for decades now, and okay. It's huge. There's a lot of outbuildings, and at one time it was massively big, but it's also reportedly very haunted.
Where is it?
So me and Georgie were driving there, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to walk in, because one of the buildings is not in terrible condition, but it's, I think, about 5 stories high, and every story I got up, I would look down the hallways, and it got a little worse every story. So I finally got up in the attic, and I peered my head up into the attic, and there's just 2 round lights putting light in from each side.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the eeriest sights I've ever seen. But that was another one of those cases where time for me to go. So I started walking back down the steps, knowing I had 5 flights to go down.
Wasn't I outside?
You were outside. But every flight on the way down just was scarier and scarier until I got out of that door.
You forgot something.
What's that?
Remember you said as soon as you got out, you felt something behind you?
Oh, yeah. There was something. I mean, literally felt something walking behind me. And it's another one of those cases. You know, I'm not one of those people. I'm not a shrinking body. I'm not afraid of just everything. But it's one of those situations, again, where keep looking forward and keep walking. It's best not to know what is back there.
Where is this place?
It's Frenchburg, Kentucky. It's about, I think, about maybe an hour and a half from Lexington.
Okay.
So it's probably about an hour from you. But it's the building itself, like I say, you'll see it, there's a Dollar General store of all things parked in front of the main building. But you see the Dollar General store, you look behind it, haunted. And it's something right out of a horror movie. All these big buildings back there.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was a Family Dollar.
Maybe a Family Dollar.
It was a haunted Dollar Family General, Dollar.
Family Dollar.
A haunted Family Dollar. Whenever the ghost needs anything, just goes to Family Dollar, get whatever he needs, go back.
Now, you know, and of course, these stories take place over several years. I'm not saying that every time we walk out the door, we run into something paranormal. We don't.
What about Walmart?
But Walmart,
it's haunted.
It's haunted with a lot of people, Walmart is. But it's
yeah, that's for sure.
But we had something happen right in our own backyard. It's rather unique. We live in, of course, we live in Richmond. And I had some friends over, Roy and Daryl. They were over one night. And we were sitting I had a big old camper van. So just in order not to keep Georgie and Tammy up, we go sit out there and we're drinking beer, listening to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to look over my shoulder and I see Daryl. Daryl's looking out the back window of the van. And I thought, I wonder what he's looking at. So I look in my mirror. And again, this is right out of a horror movie. I'm not making this up. I'm not embellishing any of this. I see a fully dressed girl, a bride, walk behind our van up the street. So okay. I turned to Daryl. I said, did you just see that? And he said, what did you see? I said, I saw a girl, he said, dressed as a bride. I said, yes. We hopped out. All 3 of us hopped out at the same time. You can see a mile down my street. And there was nobody. There was nothing.
We're moving.
And so, so I asked my neighbor about it. And she said, you know, other people on this street have said they've seen that over the years.
Wow. Have you done any research?
No, not really, other than asking my neighbor about it. And she said that there's been other stories about a bride, usually either on 4 Mile, which is not close to us, or in that area, just a bride that people see and they don't know where or why.
Okay, I gotta
ask.
I don't
know how you even begin to research
that. You guys,
I don't live in Richmond.
Okay, see you later. See you, kid.
I don't live in Richmond.
So you guys aren't like actual investigators, but it seems like you're kind of afraid of the paranormal. Why in the world would you come to Mackey's then? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I'm not really afraid of the paranormal. I'm just very, very interested in the unknown. If it's something that I don't know why or how it works, I want to know about it.
And are you hooked on it yet?
No, not really. But you know what? But I'll never turn down a hunt. If somebody tells me they're doing it, I will absolutely go do it with them. We're talking about doing Tombstone next.
Oh, and, that's a great place.
And
especially the Birdcage
like
Theater.
We were in Arizona. We did a shoot out there in Monument Valley. And somebody had mentioned, said, hey, there's an old hotel. and it's very haunted. It's about 2.5 hours up in the high mountains. So, boom, next day we were headed to work. I wanted to go there. I wanted to see what it was. We actually stayed in a place called Oatman, Arizona. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Well, Oatman, Arizona is where Clark Gable and his girlfriend, who soon became his wife, Carol Lombard, whenever they wanted to get away from Hollywood, they'd go to this little town of Oatman, Arizona. And there's a hotel there. So they spent their honeymoon there. And when she died in the plane crash, that was one of the hotels he went to and waited for word to come down, what happened. But they kept their honeymoon suite exactly as it was back in 1934, 35, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And at the same bed sheets, the same curtains, everything. So you look through a window and it says, this is where Clark Gable and Carol Lombard spent their honeymoon. So I had to go see it. So we're there and we end up, this has been several years ago back when I partied a little more than I do now, but we're sitting there that night at the bar and we're sitting drinking with all the locals, having a great time. Next thing I know, we're out in the middle of the desert on a golf cart with two flashlights taped to the hood as headlights. Right? I mean, this, I know it's right out of a horror, but it's the way people disappear. We just had a great time. People were hanging off that golf cart drink. We get back to the bar. And I said, yeah, I love the Gable room. I said, it's too bad that you can't stay in there. And this one guy looks over and he says, I think her name was Marge, I swear. He says, Marge, can they stay in there? And she says, sure.
From The Simpsons?
She owned it. She owned the bar.
Oh, very
so
cool.
So she said, sure. So we partied the rest of the night. I wake up the next morning sleeping in Clark Gable's honeymoon bed. And they said, did you guys hear anything? Or was there any ghosts? Because it's really haunted there. Clark Gable could have been jumping on my chest. I never would have known. And I was so hungover by the time I woke up.
Was it Marge?
But it was great. It was great. It was a very haunted hotel. We just didn't see it.
Was it Marge from The Simpsons?
No, it wasn't Marge from The Simpsons. Did you say you had a story you wanted to tell?
It's not like horrifying or anything, but it's just something that's notable.
What's that?
So one time I was having a sleepover at my friend's house. It was a while ago. He was in eighth grade, I think. And we were talking. We watched a scary movie, and me and him both were just on edge. We were just very, very scared. And so it was about 9 o'clock, and so it was dark outside. And he was telling me about a few times, that he saw something just out of the corner of his eye just walk, like he'd hear something outside. Didn't know what it was. It wasn't like a normal, it was just something. So he'd look outside the window, and he'd just see something out of the corner of his eye, like kind of walking kind of slowly, and just disappear. So I said, what if we look out the window? So I go and I look out the window and it's there. And it just, his room
what
is.
What was it?
It was kind of like a darker figure, but it looked like pretty tall. And you could just, it was kind of like an outline in the night.
Like a and shadow so person? His,
mm-hmm.
shadow. I guess. Yeah. Shadow right. person. You could call it that. So we look out the window and the shadow person is just walking down the street slowly, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore, man. So I stopped looking out the window, and we go to bed pretty soon. And later at night, I look out the window, and I saw it again. I was so scared. I don't think I ever had a sleepover, or I didn't really go over there that much anymore. That was really scary for me.
You just walked him on all of everything.
Well, you know, switching gears a little bit, I even have a Mothman story.
Oh,
oh yeah. I have one of those too.
Mothman?
Oh yeah, I love Mothman.
Well, we were traveling through West Virginia, going I don't even remember where, and we got snowed in. I mean, we stopped in a little town in West Virginia where Mothman is at. And,
Point Pleasant.
And so we can make it back to Huntington. And we drove about 4 or 5 miles up the road and the road disappeared. I mean, they get snow.
Yep.
So we had to turn around and we had to just inch our way back into the little town. What was the name of the little town in West Virginia? Do you remember?
Point Pleasant.
And so we made it back to Point Pleasant. We stayed at the Days Inn right beside of the new bridge, where they built it up from where the old bridge fell.
Yeah.
And we stayed there and we did a little video and this, that, and the other. We went and we toured all the places and looked at the statue. About a year later, we're in North Carolina, of all places. And we had heard that there's sightings of the Mothman there. And me and my brother Keith were driving down this little country road going to my wife's grandparents' house. And this thing swooped across the front of our car. And it was so big, it blocked out our whole front window. Hmm. And so we thought, what was that? And then it turned around, it came back again and swooped out. And we saw the big red eyes and the big teeth just go, just glide by the window. And my wife's grandfather said, he thought for a moment, he said, bet that was a barn owl. It's like, but he was trying not to scare us because he knew there was no barn owl.
A barn owl with big red neon
eyes
and teeth.
But it just glided through the by the front.
If that's a barn owl, that's a haunted barn owl.
You know, people who see the Mothman, it's typically a sign of bad things to come. I hope nothing happened.
It's been a couple decades ago, so hopefully that's
good. It's all over now.
Yeah.
A few days after he saw that, the bridge actually collapsed, and mm-hmm. a lot of people went missing, and only a certain amount of people that...
After who saw it? My dad?
Yeah.
No, this is after the original Mothman. After the original Mothman.
Yeah, but most of the times after you see him, whatever bridge he's on or wherever it is, it tends to collapse or something bad happens to it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors. Like you say, it's a predecessor to
tragedies,
bad tidings to come.
Yeah.
Did anybody die on the bridge?
Yeah, several.
Yeah.
People.
Oh, like yeah.
Like 13 people died, I believe, if I remember correctly.
The rest went missing. Yeah.
Is there anything you all would like to know about anything that we do? We've done several horror movies, and that's one of the other reasons. You know, we talked about that we hadn't been that we're not actual paranormal hunters.
Right.
That's kind of a misnomer because we do go to a lot of places where there are hauntings. Mm-hmm. And we've met a lot of people in the paranormal community because of the movies we do. You know, we started off in the business about 20 years ago, making Zombie Planet, Dance with a Vampire. The Edison Death Machine, actually, the whole premise of the Edison Death Machine. Do you know anything about the Edison Death Machine?
I don't.
Well, it's actually legend. And part of the legend, of course, is a little factual. When Thomas Edison, one of the things he said that he always figured is, if you could communicate with the living, there would be a way, if there's an afterlife, to build a machine to communicate with the other side.
Okay.
Excuse me, still getting over cold. So allegedly he tried to do this, and there are people that said they saw blueprints, they saw this. There's been even a couple of machines have turned up in auctions that were unknown Edison devices. Mm-hmm. They thought that may be what it was. And one man said he even saw the working prototype. Well, when he died, they said that the first thing his family did was they cleansed all of that from his records because they didn't want him coming off that way.
Okay.
So we came up with the premise that what if one of these machines actually turned up in a museum and was stolen by accident? And that's what we did. So these thieves realized that if somebody comes out of the grave and hands you a priceless sword, you're not stealing it, they're giving it to you.
Right.
So they start going around the world resurrecting people. So
where can people see your movies and your TV shows and everything?
Well, right now you can see them on our channels, which is INC, the INC Network on Roku. We have Draw Western Television. We have the INC Horror Network. They were available on everywhere, but we finally just got all of our rights back. We did mostly ourselves. I think there are several DVDs still out there on eBay and things like that, but mostly through our networks on Roku.
Okay.
You can look up INC Studios and it'll give you a list of all of our movies.
And that's only on Roku right now?
It's on Roku. We're coming to Fire Stick.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Then I can check them out then.
Don't we have an Edison Death Machine in the basement?
We do. We have the Edison Death Machine in our basement.
Do you really?
It's one that we actually made for the filming. So
for the
it's
film,
in our basement.
Right now. That's awesome. Well, the places you go, I have a feeling you're going to be having a lot more experiences. So be sure you've got a digital recorder going every time you go into these places.
Oh, we do. We were loaded up when we came into Bobby Mackey.
There's one more thing. There's one story that's sort of weird. We went to Waverly. This is the first time we went.
Okay.
And we're probably on the third or fourth
floor. Oh, I'm glad you brought up Waverly.
We're on the third or fourth floor, and they were showing this door where a firefighter was. And this, I didn't see it the second time, but I clearly saw
a figure in that doorway.
Oh, yeah.
And there was also something while we were on the third or fourth floor that my dad pointed out. And those two figures that met up and then walked one way. Uh-huh. It was red figures.
I had my really nice, high quality movie camera there to try to shoot some footage.
And he And he also asked one of the people that worked there, and he said, "Yeah." He asked, "Is there anybody back there?" And the worker said, "No, people see that all the time."
Yeah.
Now that was two different instances. We went up to the third floor where the nurse supposedly hung herself. And I turned my camera around. And I was just trying to get anything that I could in the darkness. The and it literally locked on to two figures. And, you know, my sensors locked on to a tall person, a short person. And I thought, okay, well, there's nobody there. And I took my camera down. I looked, brought it back up. It locked onto him again.
And then so, he made me stand there.
So I said, Georgie, stand there so I can see what this is doing. And it locked onto Georgie. But then I turned my camera off, cleared my sensors, brought it back up again. It locked on to a tall person and a short person again.
Wow.
And then when he's talking about in the hallway, we were standing there and they were talking about the shadow people and one in the hallway.
Yeah.
And I see a guy standing looking the other way. And I turn and look, and there's a guy standing down in the hallway. And I look at him, he looks at me, he's like, okay, well, there's a guy down there.
That was cute.
And then the guy just walks off and just goes away. And that's why I asked the lady, I said, is there somebody down there? She said, no, everybody's here.
Wasn't there two people?
Me and him were the two people.
Oh, but.
So we've seen some things, you know.
The nurse,
sounds like
the nurse was on the fifth floor.
Nurse was on the fifth floor. Outside the room, not actually in the room. That's a big misconception, but yeah.
Pretty interesting. We've been there a couple times. Like I said, I thought Bobby Mackey's, we had a spectacular time there. Bob and them really picked up so much stuff in there.
Yeah, the one who was telling you all to run, he's no longer there, thank God, because he was only there for about a week. He was very negative. We didn't like him. So we're glad he's good. Gone.
Wait, did he die? How do you die as a ghost?
Randy Moss.
No, he just left. He just left the building. So I don't know where he went. I don't care as long as he doesn't come back. Nope.
Good. You know, what I would love to do is I would love to, and I think we discussed this briefly, I would love to come there and bring a couple of our Western characters there. And actually do a history of what of Bobby Mackey's as far back as we can take it. Because there's a lot of parallels between what we do in Bobby Mackey's history. You know, of course, ours is all in gambling saloons, casinos.
Yeah.
And that would tie in really nicely to the history of Bobby Mackey's.
But, well, you got to throw in the mob, too, because that's Mackey's is mob related.
Right. Well,
I have a story about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear that. It has to do with something about mobs. Me and my dad and my mom, we were getting on a bus in Vegas, Las Vegas.
Okay.
And this is the second time we went. And
yes, I take my kids to Vegas.
This guy, it was me, my dad, and my mom. And there was this one guy, he was in a wheelchair. And he hopped over right beside of me and my dad. And my dad pointed out that's a gangster.
Well, this comes from being then, an old-time filmmaker. Yeah. I looked at this guy and I listened to this guy talk, and I thought, this guy is, you know, he's not your average tourist. He had on he was dressed all the way from the top to the bottom, even silk socks on.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
Probably everything he was wearing probably dated no later than 1970.
And then
he was just dressed to the nines, though. And so I told Georgie, I said, that's an old mobster right there. That guy is an original mobster.
And then I asked him, are you a mobster? And then he said,
oh, wow.
He came out and he said, we don't call him. We don't call him that, kid. You know, we call him, you know, us guys and my friends. And then he starts going on. And I asked him,
this is a little above what you're going to say, but he even wanted to hire my dad. He said, I need a big, tough guy like you.
Yeah,
he said.
I said, you're not originally from around here, are you? And that's all I had to say to just open the door to him. He was like, no, I came here with the original mobster way back in the 50s. In the 50s, this was a whole different town. And he just goes on and on. He says, don't play this game. This game's for suckers. You play this game.
He gave him, I'm not supposed to say this,
he gave him a cheat for poker. He even told us, don't tell this. So that's why I'm not saying.
Yeah, he said, let me tell you, you just what game did. To play, how to play, where to go. But it was so funny because at the end of it, he told Jordy, he said, or he told me, he said, listen, you're a smart guy. He said, you're a big, tough guy. He said, you're a smart guy. He said, you come here. He said, I'll put you to work. You'll make really good money. And I was like, no, no, I can't do
that. Yeah, so you might have to kill a couple people.
His dad got offered a job with the mob.
Oh, my gosh.
Why didn't he give me the job? Money? I want money.
Don't worry. You'll get your opportunity, I'm sure.
You've got time yet, kid. Don't worry. Plenty of time. Plenty of time. Money. We all
my
do.
Bones don't heal like they used to. Right?
Oh, I hear you on that. Well, I tell you what, next time you go to some really cool places, get those recorders going, and I want to hear all about those stories again some other time.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure I've got 3 or 4 stories that I forgot to tell you about. like I say, we just travel a lot. We go different places. We went to the Caribbean. We've been to Hawaii, a few places there that are haunted. And the ghosts in different parts of the country like that, or different parts of the world, are different than what we have here, of course.
Mm-hmm. There's another. Oh, sure.
They got the Jumbies in the Caribbean and things like that. It's different.
There's another spooky thing about Waverly. At 3 a.m., they like to play Elvis music. They say that the ghosts like Elvis.
Okay.
I just liked Elvis. It sounded good.
They have good taste then.
it made it spookier.
You guys got any other stories you want to tell them?
No.
Not yet, huh? I'm sure you'll have plenty more to come, especially if you guys travel so much. I can't wait to hear more. And I appreciate you guys coming on tonight. It's been really fascinating talking to you guys.
We did all the talking. We just talked your ear off.
Well, hey, that's a podcast. That's what we like.
For sure.
It'd be boring if you guys are just sitting there. Although I really do wish, and I will eventually get this up on YouTube, but I wish our pod people could just see what we're seeing right now. It's just like... a scene out of some Western. We've got Big George here drinking whatever the hell he's drinking. The two kids drinking their sarsaparilla with their cowboy hats. It's very authentic.
Evan's even got his scatter gun. Show him your scatter gun.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. I want one of those, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Trust me, whenever you see me on Draw Western Theater, I don't enjoy these drinks. It's zero sugar sarsaparilla.
Yeah, one scene we did one time we came in, and this was when we first moved to the Yukon set. Well, I had forgotten that left our iced tea on the counter over there for like a week. So then I poured in our whiskey bottle. That's a little secret. And we're sitting there, and every time somebody takes a drink, it's right out of the movies because they take a drink and go,
This is
not our usual whiskey, is it? It's like, no, it's not.
This is Kimo Sabe's sarsaparilla, and it is bad. It is ailing zero sugar. Who likes that?
It doesn't sound
ALA
appetizing.
Well, we can't go to Winchester anymore.
Yeah. He broke an ALA bottle in Winchester. Don't tell anybody.
Oh.
Okay, we got her.
Well, again, guys, thanks for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
That's been awesome.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to have. Thank you very much for having us.
Well, you are very welcome.
You didn't get to say anything.
Well, we bring people on to tell their stories.
Right.
No
one wants to.
They listen
us.
To us. Yeah. People don't want to hear us all the time. We talk all the time anyway. So they want to hear about you guys. So I
know the boys
it.
Got paid their allowance recently. So we're going to play a little cards here and see if we can lighten them up to that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Nice. All right, guys. Well, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Whispers. And as always, if you want to get in contact with us, our email is throughtheabyspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter. Man. Instagram and Snapchat
Spotify.
Ben at Abyss Podcast 1.